praise team for leading us this morning, and those are good songs. Good songs. How great is our God? Something that we need to be reminded of all the time. I know there's times when things kind of get unhinged, or feels like you're unraveling and it doesn't look like there's any hope anywhere or any help anywhere. You need to stop and remember that song, How Great Is Our God. Because our God is certainly greater than any of the problems that we face. And He will help us if we just give ourselves in to His hands. So, well, it's good to see you this morning, and glad to have you with us. And I do want to invite you again. I'm sure Steve did once, but I'm going to do it again, to come up to the rehab at 3:30 and join us there as we conduct the service there. Last week, I think we had one of the largest contingents of people from our church that we've had in a long time. And we outnumbered the residents, which is really cool. Because residents don't sing much. But anyway, I just want to thank everyone who was there last week. It was really a good time to have us meeting in a different place. We're not in the big eating room anymore. We're in a little teeny conference room. And so the piano's really loud. The singing's really loud. It's wonderful. Just love it. So anyway, we invite you to come up and join us. It goes about a half an hour. That's all those people can put up with me, so please come. When you look at your notes in the bulletin, don't panic. I know it's a pastor-being thing to go print both sides of the bulletin insert. And generally, we can't get through one side in a 30-minute sermon, and I've got two sides, and I've already blown about 3 minutes. So, but don't panic. Don't panic. We're going to get through this, but having said that, we're covering the subject today of spiritual gifts. And if you remember last week that I was talking, I said I'm going to tie this week last week and this week together a little bit, and I'm going to. That's going to come more towards the end of the message. But we're talking about spiritual gifts. Now, I have to say something about when it comes to spiritual gifts. I grew up in a Baptist church, in a very solid Baptist church. And I was in that church till, I married Melissa. That was 25, and I think we stayed one more year before they kicked us out. So that would have been. So I was there for 26 years. In the 26 years that I was at Salt Creek Baptist Church, a good solid church, I had never once heard a sermon on spiritual gifts. I didn't even really know what a spiritual gift was because it just was not taught in our church, and I'm not sure why, because it's very present in the New Testament. It's there, and so I, of course, not being in on the upper winking of the leaders of our church, why it was never talked about, but it wasn't. It was kind of, when I got to the seminary, it was like, what are these things? We all have them? Are you sure? And anyway, it's kind of a little bit of an uncharted territory for a lot of folks. There are a lot of folks that think that in order to have a spiritual gift, you got to be part of the Pentecostal movement or a part of the Pentecostal church. That's not true. It's not, that's not what the scriptures says. And so we're going to, but I'm not going to be able to cover everything about spiritual gifts. I can't do that. We need to offer training in that as a church. We need to be able to meet in small groups and talk about spiritual gifts and encourage one another and learn about them. That's how we need to do it. There's no way that I can teach you everything about spiritual gifts and help you to identify your spiritual gifts in a morning worship service. It just isn't going to work. But I'm going to hopefully whet your appetite for you to desire to learn what your spiritual gift is and to use it, because we need to use it. One of the things also that I noted in our belief study, as we went through the first 10 weeks of the course, which it was teaching us kind of our what we are to think, what we are to believe about and believe in, and what our beliefs are, and that type of thing. One of the things that surprisingly was missed, I think missed, and I think they should have added a chapter. I know that would have not made it 10-10-10 thing. It would have made it 11-10-10, but then they could have added one to each of the other ones and had 11-11-11. But one thing they didn't talk about was the Holy Spirit. Now, I know the Holy Spirit was mentioned when it came to talking about the person of God. So we talked about the Trinity, we talked about the three in one. But then again, in a one sermon, period of time, 20 to 30 minutes, how do you talk about God? Especially the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so one of the things that I want to do, and this is why it's going to go rather quickly, even though it looks like there's a lot of material in your notes, it really isn't as much as it's, because we're going to just zoom through the first side of that, because I just want to give you an overview of the Holy Spirit. Again, I can't cover that subject in 30 minutes, and so how can I cover that and spiritual gift in 30 minutes? Well, hang on, because we're going to do it, and I'm not going to speed talk either. I'm going to speak so that you can understand me. Well, the best that I can do so that you can understand me. Anyway, but first, before we understand spiritual gifts, we have to understand the work of the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? Dean said this morning, as we were talking about in our little meeting, perhaps the most misunderstood person of the Trinity. Absolutely. We talk about God a lot. We talk about Jesus Christ and the work on the cross a lot. We mention the Holy Spirit quite a bit, but it's almost as if of course, I think it's a little unfortunate that we call the Holy Spirit now, but back when I was in church, it was the Holy Ghost, which is kind of like, is it a ghost type thing? What is this Holy Ghost, and they tell me there are no such things as ghosts. So how can there be a ghost? Holy Ghost. Anyway, but Holy Spirit is really a more appropriate name for the third person of the Trinity, and so we're going to look at that quickly, and then we're going to look at the gifts that the Holy Spirit bestows. First, let's pray and just ask the Lord to calm my heart. So let's pray. Father, we have so much to cover today. Lord, we can't cover it all in the amount of time that we have. Lord, I pray that you would pique our interest, that you would whet our appetite, that you would place in us the desire to learn more about the work of the Holy Spirit and about the work of spiritual gifts in our life. Father, help us this morning to understand and help us to get excited about the potential of using our gifts for your glory. Speak to us now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, first of all, the Holy Spirit. As I already mentioned, the Holy Spirit is referred to as the third person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we see the three parts of the three persons of the Trinity in one passage of Scripture, and it doesn't happen very often, but it does happen in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. This is at Jesus' as I read it, you'll get it. It says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. So in this passage of Scripture, we have the three persons of the Trinity. Jesus Christ, who has just been baptized, as he came out of the water, it says the Spirit of God descended upon him as a dove, and the Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son. So we have the voice of the Father, the Spirit ascending as a dove, and Jesus Christ who was baptized. So there we have the Trinity, just very briefly. But there it is. The Bible supports the idea that God is three in one. The next thing that I want to kind of look at is the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. I mean, the Old Testament. First of all, I think a lot of us think that the Holy Spirit is a New Testament thing. That's when we learn about the Holy Spirit. That's when the Holy Spirit comes. Well, and it's true. We'll talk about that in a second. But in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is very, very present. In fact, the Holy Spirit is present in the book of Genesis in the first chapter when it talks about the Spirit of God hovering over what God had created. So it's Spirit is mentioned there, but the Spirit didn't have a different function, but it was distributed differently in the Old Testament. Now, please don't freak out at the word limited. As a person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit is not limited. But we see him in a limited capacity in the Old Testament. And if you put limited and temporary together, you kind of get the idea. The Holy Spirit didn't come in fullness. Not everyone in the Old Testament that believed in God was filled with the Holy Spirit. We saw that the Holy Spirit came upon people that were generally anointed by God's prophets. The Holy Spirit came upon people for a period of time, and then the Holy Spirit would leave that person. I think one of the bigger, better examples of that is found in 1 Samuel 16, 13 and 14, where it talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit departing from someone. 1 Samuel 16, 13 and 14. It says, so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And this is David. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. So we have David being anointed and the Holy Spirit coming upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Now, that's a great discussion there, which we're not going to look at. But what we want to look at is the thing is that the Holy Spirit, which came upon Saul, who was king at one time, departed from Saul. So we see the limited, temporary presence of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. In fact, in Psalms 51:11, we sing about this, whatever it's in the song. David writes, do not cast me from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. You know, we really don't need to sing that song anymore because God is not going to take his Holy Spirit from us. He's here and he's here to stay. And he's in us and he's in us to stay. But in those days, yes, the Holy Spirit could be taken from people in that time. So the Holy Spirit is in the Old Testament, but he's in a limited temporary capacity. Now in the New Testament, we see that the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit is widespread and permanent. Widespread and permanent. Acts chapter 2, we see the full coming of the Holy Spirit in verses 1 through 4, when it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, the other tongues they're talking about here, actually, as we read on in that is other languages. This is other languages, because we know that there were people from all around the known world at that time that spoke different languages, but as the disciples spoke, each one of them heard their own language being spoken. So at this time, that when they said they spoke different languages, that is what they were referring to. So that's the coming of the Holy Spirit, and it came upon all of those people who were in the house, the disciples and those who were with the disciples. And then in Acts chapter 2, a little bit later on, verse 38 and 39, Peter is preaching here. He says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So what Peter is saying here is the Holy Spirit is now not going to be limited to those people who are special or who are anointed by a prophet, but that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon all who believe. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit before he left in John 14:16. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. So in the Old Testament, where the Holy Spirit was lifted from people and was, again, this limited temporary presence of the Holy Spirit, in the New Testament, it's completely different. It comes upon all who believe, and he isn't going to ever leave us. So that brings us to, okay, so we have this Holy Spirit living in us. What does he do? What does he do in us? Well, again, this is just brief, but this is what he does. We just heard in John 16 that he is going to be a counselor to us. In John 14:26, it says, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I said. So he's going to be a counselor. He's going to help us, to counsel us, but he's also going to teach us. How does the Holy Spirit teach us? Well, he teaches us as we read God's word, and he helps us to understand what God's word is saying to us. So he's a counselor, he's a teacher, and I didn't know how to say it, but he's also the one who helped us remember what we've learned. He helps us to remember what we have learned. Have you ever been in a situation where you're troubled or something is going on in your life, or or you really don't know what to say, and all of a sudden, a verse comes to your mind. All of a sudden, it's like, well, wow, that's cool. I wonder how come I remembered that. Well, don't wonder how come you remembered that. You remember that because the Holy Spirit brought it back to your memory, because that's part of what the Holy Spirit does. So, counselor, teacher, in John 14, John 16, verse 13, he is our guide. It says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. So we have here that the Holy Spirit is going to be our guide. He's going to lead us, but we have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. But he will lead us. And he doesn't lead us, he doesn't operate separately from God the Father and God the Son. He only teaches us what he is told to teach us. Now again, I would like to explain all these things more fully, but hard to do in the period of time that we have. Okay, so he's our guide. Romans 8:26, we see that he is our helper. Paul writes, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us and groans in words that cannot be expressed. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He is our helper. Acts 1:8. The Holy Spirit gives us strength. Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit is a source of strength for all of us who believe. Strength to do what God wants us to do. Strength to be his witnesses in this world. The Holy Spirit produces fruit in our lives. Produces fruit in our lives. Galatians 5, 22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. We've talked about the fruit of the Spirit many times. Now, again, these some people say, well, these are gifts. Yes and no, because if we look at this, yeah, this is what the Holy Spirit produces in us. But when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, these are fruits that should all be in us. When we talk about spiritual gifts, we're going to talk about we have a spiritual gift. When we talk about the fruits of the Spirit, these are things that should be seen in each and every one of us. It isn't limited to one person or the other. You know, I have love, you have joy, you have peace, you have patience, you have kindness. No, through the Holy Spirit, these things should be displayed in each and every one of us, all of them. And then finally we come down, and again, this is a nutshell, sorry, but this is what we're going to do, is the Holy Spirit is the giver of spiritual gifts. He is the giver of spiritual gifts. Hebrews 4:2 says, God has testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Okay, now the Holy Spirit, again, does not act independently of God the Father or God the Son. But he distributes gifts according to God's will for each and every one of us. Okay, that's the longest introduction you have ever heard to spiritual gifts. Now we get into spiritual gifts, and again, I am not going to be looking at specific spiritual gifts and what they are, and how they work, and which ones are valid for that time or valid for today or all that time. That needs to be covered in a study. And I'm sure Dean would love to do a study like that. I wouldn't mind doing a study like that. Because even after the month of May, I do plan on be doing things in this church. And leading a study in the spiritual gifts is something that would be kind of interesting for me to do. And what spiritual gifts are and how you discover what spiritual gifts you have. But anyway, this is what the Bible teaches us about spiritual gifts. And I thought, wow, 7 minutes. I can do it. Okay, first of all believers have spiritual gifts. Gift or gifts can be one or multiple. But all believers have them. All believers. This is what the Bible teaches us. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now to each one a manifestation of the Spirit has been given for the common good. To each one. You know, not just to Dean, not just to Steve, and they skipped me, because some of you probably think they did, but he didn't. I have one. And he didn't skip any of you. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you have a spiritual gift. See, this is something I did not know for the first 26 years of my life, and I went to church, all the time from when I was born. 1 Corinthians 12:11, in the same chapter, a little bit later on, it says, all these are the works of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one as He determines. Each one. All inclusive. I'm talking about believers here. So we all have a spiritual gift. You can't say, well, I'm not going to go to the spiritual gift class because I don't have one. Yes, you do. You may not know what it is, but you have one. You may have two. You may have a gift set. Second thing that I want to say about spiritual gifts. There are different kinds of gifts. This is using my vast vocabulary skills. There's a plethora of gifts. A plethora of gifts. Now, of course, most of you know that I learned that word from watching the Three Amigos. But I tell you, there's a lot of things you can learn when you watch movies. Plethora means multitude or many. There's quite a few different spiritual gifts. And so let's kind of look at, and it says in 1 Corinthians 12:4-6, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. So, you know, there are different gifts. Now, I'm not going to go through the next three passages of Scripture because they describe the different gifts. Romans 12:6-8 describes gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:7-10 talks about another group of gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:28 talks about a group of gifts. And Ephesians 4:11-13 talks about spiritual gifts. And in there you will see duplicates. You will see different gifts in each one of those passages. But there is a number of spiritual gifts. There really are. There's a full bunch of spiritual gifts. And we all have one. At least one. Okay, of course, following the fact that there's different gifts, the next thing is we do not all have the same gift. We don't all have the same gift. Because if we did, then the church would not function very well. If we all had the same gifts. Romans 12:6. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. And then in 1 Corinthians 7:7, Paul says, I wish that all men were as I am. But each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another that gift. So we don't all have the same gifts. Now, some of us will have the same gift, but not all of us. Next, our spiritual gift or gifts are determined by God. They're determined by God. We don't say, well, you know, I want the gift of this, and so I'm just going to really work at doing this. That's not how you get a spiritual gift. You know, it's not like, you know, I'm gonna practice this, or I'm gonna want this so bad that I'll have it. No. They're all given to us by God, and they're determined by God what we have. 1 Corinthians 12:11. All these are works of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each just as He determines. See, God determines what spiritual gifts we have. We don't. God does. Romans 12:3, it says, For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance to the measure of faith God has given you. Again, it's God has given us. You know, we talk about the different talents, that parable, and we see that not every servant had the same amount of talents or money given to them. Well, it's the same way with us. Some people may have multiple gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some may just have one gift of the Holy Spirit. God determines that. I don't. Your pastor doesn't determine that. Your prayer group doesn't determine that. God determines that. Ephesians 4:11. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. It was He, that He is God. It was He that determined what we get. And then the last point that I really want to focus on here, and again, this is an overview. I want to whet your appetite so that you can say, Pastor, I want to discover my spiritual gift. I really do, because we need to do that. But the last thing we want to look at is our spiritual gifts, are for the good of the body. They're for the good of the body. They're for the good of the church, if you want to put it that way. For the good of the family. I used that word a lot last week. We are a family, and the spiritual gifts that God has given us, He has given us so that we can help this family. And that goes back to last week's sermon when it says being part of a biblical community is something that we should do. Well, in light of God's spiritual gifts, obviously it is. How can you minister the gift that God has given you if you're not part of a body? If you're not part of a family? If you've separated yourself from the body, then your spiritual gift is of use to nobody. Again, it's like severing your thumb and putting it on a table. The thumb itself is of no use, and your body has lost the use of the thumb. So the body suffers, and the thumb suffers in that. So yes, this is all connected together. In order for us to use our spiritual gifts as God determined for us to use them, we need to be part of a biblical community, part of a family, because our gifts are designed to grow this body of believers. That's why we have spiritual gifts, to grow this body of believers. Go back to 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now to each one, a manifestation of the Spirit is given. For what? For the common good. For the common good. Not for my good. Not so that people can say, well, look, he's got the gift of of washing windows. That's not a spiritual gift, by the way. It's a, maybe a spiritual talent, but it's not a spiritual gift. I'm just using that facetiously. But, you know, and I don't use that gift so that I come up on Sunday morning and say, look at that window. Do you see how clean that window is? Guess who did that? It was me. Because I have the gift of washing windows. I actually don't want you to look at that window because it is really disgusting. And if I had the gift of washing windows, it's probably what it would look like. So, anyway, but you get the idea there that it isn't for me. It's not to build me up. It's to build the body up. Now, the thing that's cool is that there are other people in the body that have spiritual gifts that help build me up. And see, we need to be part of a body. You know, people who are absent a lot from the body of believers, they are hurting themselves, and they are hurting the body. Because we need each other. We are all part. God has placed us together as He wanted us. He has knit this body together. He has, and He uses the illustration, and we use it several times, I mean, through the scriptures, of the church being a body, being the body of Christ, and that there are different parts of the body. We don't all have the same function. You know, my body is functioning properly when every member of my body is at peak efficiency and peak strength. And so then my body will function as it should. It's the same way with the church. If we are ignoring our spiritual gifts, we aren't hurting ourselves as much as we're hurting the body of Christ. Our family. Because God has placed us together here. None of you are here by accident. God wants you here. Because He has a purpose for you to be part of this body. Because when we are all doing what God desired us to do, using our spiritual gifts, using our natural gifts, yes, God does give each one of us natural gifts and talents. We were born with those. Spiritual gifts are things we receive when we accept Jesus Christ. Natural talents are things that we were born with. Now, Craig was born with a gorgeous voice. Probably not when he was crying did his mother say, oh, what a gorgeous voice. But when he was little. He had cried recently. But, but we can recognize that, you know, that is a talent that Craig has had since birth. And he needs to use it for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. And he does. Thank you for the praise team. You guys for using your voice for that. Some of us haven't been given that talent. Some of us have other talents. Those are to be used for God too, and God has placed talented people in this church as He has wanted them. But getting back to the idea of spiritual gifts, He has given each one a gift to aid this body of believers into growing, into being what God wants us to be. If we're not using our gifts, we don't even know what our gift is, then we've got to find out because we are hurting the body if we don't know what it is and if we're not using it. Now, it is possible that some of you are using it and you don't know it. That's very possible. And you just need to find out that, oh, so that's why I like doing that. That's why I have a natural thing to do that. Because that's what God has gifted me in. Yes, it is. Thank you for using that. It's good to identify those things, though. But we are all part of a bigger body. We're not separate. We don't function separately. We function best when we're together and helping one another. And that's why God gave spiritual gifts to each and every one of us, is for the good of the body so that we can use it for His honor and glory and to grow this body, this family, as it leads to grow. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? I want you to talk about that maybe in your small group if you don't have some planned leaders. Ask, do you know what your spiritual gift is? How do you discover your spiritual gift? That's a whole other line of thing. But the best way to discover your spiritual gift is ask people, what do you see in me? Because generally, other people can see your spiritual gift before me. But there are tests that you can take. But I have to tell you something. Being a psychology major, I can take those tests and I can come out with every spiritual gift because I know what they're getting at. And so I can decide, yeah, I want that. I want that gift of being a window washer. So I'm going to answer that question because I know that question doesn't fit. So far I haven't taken a test that can fool me yet. Maybe Dean knows of one or Steve knows of one, but so far I get the answers all right. The best way that I know is you folks telling me, I see this in you, Rich. This is what I see. And you need to be saying that to other people. You know, I see this in you. I see, you know, and I'm just gonna, you know, again, in I think we'll all agree, in Dean, I see a gift of teaching. He knows how to teach. I don't have that gift so much as he does. You know, I have a gift of opening doors. Is that a gift? Well, it's probably a gift of, I don't know what it's a gift of. But anyway, I like doing that, and you people say you like me doing that, so I continue to do that. And I will do that my entire life. Believe it or not, my dad did that when he was in church. He always opened doors and greeted people. So we need each other to tell us that and to affirm what our gifts are. But you know, you are special to this body of believers, every one of you. Sometimes we don't act like you are, but that's a shame because you are special. And God has placed you here for a reason, and we need everyone God has placed in this church to be functioning at 100% so that this body of believers can grow. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us gifts, the talents, but especially the gifts. Lord, they're not for our glory, but for the good of the body and for your glory. Help us to discover what our gifts are and to use them, Lord, so that this body may grow, so that this body may function as you desire for it to function. And Lord, that your name ultimately be glorified in our service. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.